are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of A Healthier View. This is Scott, Dr. Scott Clitheroe, over here in Austin, Texas. And as usual, I'm very honored to be joined by my partner, Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing great. It's a Friday while we're taping this, so it's always a good time of the week. Everybody's happy on Fridays. How's
Yes.
your week been going?
Oh, it's been such a great week. And I tell you what I'm loving this cooler weather. I woke up this morning, it was like 47 degrees, a little sprinkly. But let me tell you, I welcome this cool weather.
Is it making you excited for the seasons, Halloween first and then Thanksgiving? Is it kind of get you ready for some pumpkins?
Yes, I do have a jack-o'-lantern, actually. I do have one.
All right.
And, but yeah, and it's so funny. When I took my dogs out for a walk today, I was like, I loved it. I didn't want to get in bed. It was just so cozy. And then when I took them for a walk, I'm like, oh, good night. Where's the warm weather? But yes, I love the cooler weather, but it's a little windy. So that wind just kind of whips through you.
Yeah, it is. It is a nice change of pace from the 100 degrees a day that we've had. And so we enjoy it this time of year and everybody's wearing jackets for a change. It's kind of fun to see.
Yeah. So do you have a lot of trick-or-treaters at your place?
We do. We do. We have a lot. And we have all the really young kids that come by initially. And then as the night progresses, they get older and older until about 9 o'clock. They look like they're about college age.
Right. Uh-huh.
I think they're in there just trying to clean up all the leftover candy, which is pretty funny, but we're happy to indulge because the less candy around the house, the less temptation.
Yeah, that's true. So you give out candy?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, we could give out apples, but the parents are worried about apples. You know, anything that can't be wrapped or unwrapped, I guess is the way to put it, has some, you know, parents nervous about, you know, safety because of things that have happened in the past. So I'm certainly sensitive to that. But yeah, I know it's not the most healthy thing. And then handing out a toothbrush and a toothpaste tube would probably get us on the blacklist for next
right.
year. So yeah,
we're not going there. Right.
Guilty as charged. We hand out candy, but I figured that, you know, young folks can handle the sucrose better than maybe the older folks. So yeah, probably maybe you should think of a better alternative. Do you have any other ideas for a healthier way to go on Halloween?
Well, you know what my dad does? He's been doing this for, I want to say 15, 20 years. He gives out quarters. And yeah, he gives out quarters, but it's kind of funny. I think now that literally we have all these kids come by, he gives out quarters, but now I think a quarter, you know, what's that worth? I mean, back 20 years ago, be like, oh, that's kind of cool. Now it's like, here's your quarter, but he still does it. So I think his heart is in the right place and he enjoys doing that. And then sometimes he'll give out like little rubber, like spider rings or witch rings or something like that. But, yeah, he's been doing that for years. He doesn't give out candy.
I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I think that kids can appreciate that. And, you know, maybe they put it in their piggy bank and save, right?
I don't know. I don't know. He's just so proud of that and happy. But now your brother is a dentist. Does he give out toothpaste and toothbrushes? Do you know?
No, I think he gives out candy because he's drumming up business.
Oh, that's alternative motive there. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, he hasn't said that, but that is maybe what he's doing. I have memories of back in the old days growing up in Houston, and this is again before the Halloween scares, you know, that happened, that my mom would dress up in a witch's outfit, not too scary, but just a witch's hat usually. And she had this really big cast iron pot, and she would make this juice drink, this fruit juice drink, non-alcoholic, of course, fruit juice. And then she'd get some dry ice and she put it in there. And so it looked like witch's brew. And so as trick-or-treaters would come by, they also got a little bit of candy, but then she said, if you're thirsty, how about some witch's brew? And it was just like a good grape, you know, orange, whatever, some kind of mixture of goodness. And I thought that was kind of festive and fun. But then after all the scares started happening, you know, even back then, it was like, okay, we better not do that anymore, because a lot of parents aren't comfortable with their kids drinking, you know, Kool-Aid, even if they knew the family. So we, that kind of got shut down. But
oh, that's such a cute idea. That's a really cute idea. I like that.
And then I guess while we're talking about it, we actually had another guy in our neighborhood. I just thought of this, Mr. Sawhill, he made you come in and do a trick. So you knock on the door and say, trick or treat. He goes, well, I'll give you a treat, but you have to show me a trick first. And so it could be anything, a somersault or a joke or anything. And so he was a kind old gentleman, and his wife and him would, yeah, you'd have not come in, just come into the right there, not come in or right there, you know, and do something. It was kind of fun. So everybody knew that Mr. Sawhill was going to make you perform for your treat. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, that is like, ta-da, where's my candy? That's cute.
Yeah.
Now, every year as a kid, I went as Raggedy Ann. That was my go-to costume. And every year I was Raggedy Ann. Every year. I bet you believe that, right?
I do believe that's your favorite doll, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I collect them. I do collect them.
I love it. I don't remember many memorable costumes, but I mean, did you ever branch out from Raggedy Ann?
Nope. And when I was in college, yeah, I would go to some Halloween parties and I would dress up as, you know, something different. But now as a kid, that was my go-to. But we only, my dad worked so much. He was a coach. So a lot of and my mom worked at a hospital. So they worked a lot of Halloween. So I think we only went like maybe 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was always already.
We used to divide and conquer with the kids. You know, one person would go out trick or treat, one would stay behind and hand out the candy. That's always, there's always logistical issues with Halloween. Isn't that interesting? It becomes a complicated holiday. And it certainly seems over the last 10 years that Halloween has become more and more of a reason to decorate the whole entire yard. It's crazy how people are getting really into it and going really all out on their decorations.
Yeah. And they always say Halloween kind of starts the whole holiday season. So it's like Halloween to New Year's Day, where people are stressed out and they're not eating healthy. It just kind of like kicks off the cooler weather and all that stuff. And, you know, stress levels go up. And so I'm actually really excited about our guest today, Melinda Perez.
Yeah. Give the listeners a little more information about her before we bring her on.
Sure, sure. But one thing that I'm really interested to have a conversation with her about is, you know, her background and how, you know, stress was so prevalent in her life and maybe not living as clean as she should have, and just bring the whole spirit, mind, body into balance to creating such a healthy lifestyle and really wanting to spread goodness to the world. I love that.
Beth, are you saying that maybe we're actually adding to our episode last week on stress and stress management by bringing on Melinda? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, maybe. I just really want our listeners to know, you know, stress is a killer. Stress is one of the, you know, the accolades, the hallmark for a lot of diseases. And I really want to encourage people to get a hold of their stress and think of ways that they can really reduce stress in their lives, whether it be fitness or praying or meditating or yoga. But again, I just really want to encourage people to think about this. And the more times we can talk about it, I think the better off we will be.
Absolutely. And what if you can combine a lot of those things you just said into one healthy habit? That would be pretty cool. And I think that may be what Melinda wants to talk to us about, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think she has a great website, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But I want to tell you a story. This past Sunday in Houston at Levy Park, they have a free yoga class at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, I'm going to go. So I went, and I'm like, I'm a runner. I can hike. I can bike. I work out pretty consistently. No big deal. I just wanted to try something different. So I went. And I really enjoyed it. It was kind of hot. The sun was out and I didn't place my mat where I should have. I didn't know the pavilion where the sun was setting and rising and all that. But anyway, it was good. But Monday morning, I woke up and I was sore. I was so sore. And I was like, whatever, yoga shmoga, but I really enjoyed it. And it was such a good class.
Well, Beth, you know, there's different ways to achieve mindfulness and meditation. And I think we're always, as you know, looking for different ideas and different ways to go about it. And, you know, certainly your experience would, you know, show that there's maybe ways that some people want to try and some people don't want to try. And that's why we're trying to give our listeners plenty of different avenues for this. And so that's why we're just so happy to have Melinda Perez with us. Melinda is the founder of a program called Share Love, Live Well, and it's in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And we're just so happy to have you with us, Melinda. Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you also. Thank you.
Great. Good.
So one of the things that I want to know is, I know when I was reading your website, I mean, it's just so lovely. And I really encourage our listeners to go to your website. And so how can you tell us a little bit about you?
About me?
Yes.
Well, my story is just so multi-layered. Yeah, so I grew up in New York, New Jersey area, tri-state area. I've been a commuter all my life, living in Jersey, having my career and schooling in New York. And I just had a very, for lack of better words, colorful teenage years into adulthood. I made a lot of mistakes. I learned a lot of lessons that parents just don't want their kids to learn. I was in the street. I started experimenting very early with drugs, alcohol, and just everything that carried over into adulthood. And you don't realize how these experiences kind of change the way you think and how they form your character and your personality until you're confronted and have to start to make changes. When I got married is when I started to confront the things that weren't exactly right way of thinking. You know, it was very self-absorbed, very egotistical, very prideful. And in a marriage, those things just don't work well. It's a recipe for disaster. And slowly, little by little, I started to redefine my faith and what I had faith in. I'm a Christian believer, so that definitely helped with the overwhelm of marriage, the overwhelm of life, and just helped me to find peace. And then I found this Ignite program, the Ignite Global Body Movement, that started through physical fitness, started to help me heal my inner wounds that I had just shut down and silenced, you know, for a long time. And I think a lot of women are just brought up not to talk about certain things. It happened and you moved on. And we don't understand how those influence us until much, much later in life. And sometimes women are not even able to look at those experiences because they're just stuffed down so deep. So now I'm on, you know, this way to healing my shameful heart, and just be able to walk out in freedom.
Wow, that's great. That's wonderful.
That's a great story. Yeah. Well, tell us about how you then came to start this program.
Well, I had practiced yoga for many, many years, and I loved it. I have scoliosis, you know, I have some back problems. And so yoga really helped to realign my spine and take some of the pressure off, plus help with my muscles. So I loved yoga. In college, they were like the height of like finals, midterms, everyone's going crazy. Like you can cut the stress really deep with a knife during this time at college.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a meditation program was offered, you know, just like a single period that we will all sit down and try to calm down from the stress that we were experiencing. And so since I practice yoga, I'm like, oh, I know meditation. I meditate, you know, all the time. It should be fine. So I go in and I sit down. I'm listening to the instructor or the guide walk us through this experience. And something just didn't feel right. But, you know, I wasn't going to get up in front of all my peers and just walk out. Mm-hmm. So I stood there and I just started to feel very uncomfortable, and it felt like my mind was starting to drown. It's like a very surreal experience. I just, like, in my, I guess in my mind's eye, I could see these waves starting to, like, overtake me, and not being able to breathe. I was unable to move from my chair. Like, I knew I was sitting down. I was conscious that I was still in the classroom, but I couldn't move, and I couldn't stop my mind from this drowning feeling until the instructor said something. I wasn't even sure what she was speaking. At some point, my mind tuned her out, and she had said some words, and then I came out. I stopped, like, this drowning feeling just fleeted. And ever since that day, I just stopped practicing yoga. I stopped meditating. I felt like it was a personal warning for me that this is not something I should practice. So years went by and I didn't do yoga, but then all my symptoms started to come back. You know, the aches, the pain, the unable to sleep, I couldn't walk. It was just a miserable couple of years after that. And so I didn't think much of it. You know, I tried to do other things, went to the chiropractor, and I think chiropractors are like heaven sent. I love chiropractors.
Me too, sister. Yep.
Yes, I love them. Oh, love them. And so I dabbled into health and wellness through an MLM. And I was like, you know, I just want to offer my clients more. What else can I offer them? So I'm just looking. And I stumbled upon Ignite Global Body Movement, which started in California. The woman's name is Vanessa, who's the founder and creator of this program. And so I was like, oh my God, this looks like yoga, but I don't want to practice yoga. Like, what am I supposed to do? I feel like I'm supposed to do this, whatever, whatever. And so I just had to, like, really just think and just had to pray about it. Like, is this new program for me? Is this something I'm supposed to be doing? Is it going to give me the benefits I'm looking for? And so I just heard, like, deep down in my spirit that, like, yes, this is for you. This is how I'm going to redeem your body. You need to do this. And from then on, I just went all in. I learned the full routine. I got certified in the routine. And it was everything I was missing. It combines the stretching. It combines cardio. It combines Pilates. It's a full body experience, where every part of you is being exercised, including your mind. So we, during the exercise routine, we're speaking these powerful declarations over ourselves. You know, we're more than a conqueror. You know, we go from fighting to showing grace. You know, we're praying for protection over ourselves and our families, that we're not shaped by culture. You know, culture is a big influence. Right now, it's been a big influence.
Absolutely.
And so to be able to say that we're not shaped by the culture, you start to redefine your identity. And it has been life-changing from day one that I started up until now.
You know, I kind of like to circle back around to when you said you had a bad experience with meditating, because I know we've talked about meditation before on this show. Now, me personally, I have a hard time meditating, getting into kind of that zone where you're not thinking of anything and you're focusing on your breath. But when you said you had a bad experience with it, was it dark? Can you kind of elaborate on that just a little bit?
Well, in the setting, you know, it was a classroom, so the lights were on. It was a room full of students. I wasn't by myself. You know, I felt safe. I felt secure on where I physically was. But if we look at the definition of meditation, it's not the emptying of your mind, right? You're concentrating on something. You're thinking about something. You're focusing on something when you meditate. And so just for me, you know, in the whole, like, spiritual aspect, when you empty your mind, you're giving room for something else to enter in. And so I feel that when I meditate now versus back, well, let's start back then. Back then when I was meditating, I was trying to empty my mind. Uh-huh. And I think emptying my mind, trying to silence my thoughts, is what gave way for this drowning feeling to kind of, like, overtake me. And it's, like, the first and last time I've ever experienced something like that. It's like I was no longer safe. Like my subconscious was no longer safe at that point in time that I was in the classroom meditating. And so I just took it as a warning. It was a strong enough experience to completely frighten me from ever doing it again. And I just took it as a warning not to do it. Mm-hmm. And so now when I meditate, I do what's called like a Yahweh breath, where you know you inhale and exhale to certain sounds, and it's helped me be able to keep focus. But I always try to make sure that I have a thought that there's something I want to focus on in my mind. Maybe I'm searching for an answer. Maybe there's a loved one, you know, that I need to be thinking about, or just something that brings peace or that brings calm to me. I want to keep my mind guarded so I am aware of what's being planted in there. You know, our minds are so powerful. And if we don't guard it, then we're susceptible to all these influences, and the body reacts to those influences.
Absolutely.
Boy, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, I want to hear more about the Ignite Global Body Movement, and specifically, I mean, is it something that anybody can do with any level of basic health? Those of us who are listening who may, you know, not have as good of a cardiovascular system initially, tell us a little bit about who can do it.
Yeah. Right now I'm teaching the Signature Program, which is kind of like an intermediate level, but there is Ignite Peace, which is much slower and calmer. And then there's Ignite Fire, which is like your HIIT program, your high intensity program. Right now I'm doing the intermediate, but I always allow for modifications, and I walk my clients through the modifications as needed. You know, and I try to go slow. I explain all of the stances, the poses, you know, make sure nose in line with breastbone, you know, we don't want any injuries here. And so, yeah, it's definitely adaptable to your level. You just have to let the instructor know where you're at and have that conversation.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I mean, are you teaching a lot of the classes yourself? Do you have a studio there in the Atlanta area?
Yes. So right now I am the only instructor in Georgia, and I have a studio. Yeah. This is a new program. It's been around for about 4 years. And so there are about 3 active instructors nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
One in California. Yeah. Thank you. There's one in California, one in Alabama, and then myself in Georgia.
Great.
Georgia, it's awesome. It's awesome. In Georgia, there's a studio in Lawrenceville on Friday nights, Flowery Branch, Saturday mornings, and then by the end of the year, I'll be taking the program online where anybody from anywhere can grab hold of it.
Oh, that's exciting. That'll be good. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Yep. Oh my goodness. And we'll put in the show notes for how somebody can find you and a little bit more information about that. But oh my gosh, I would love that. Now, as a fitness person myself, I'm going to have my degree in kinesiology. Could you just, you know, take a few minutes and describe what a class would look like?
Yeah. So, we come in, you know, introductions, and then we start off laying down on the floor, concentrating our breath. The whole program starts off slow, and then it progressively gets more intense. So we start on the floor, breathing, stretching our legs, bringing our knee up to chest, stretching. And then we'll do like some spinal rolls. We're just like rolling up to a seat and then back down. And the first 15 minutes is just smooth, calm stretching every part of the body, concentrating on your breath, practicing the move so that you have the proper stance and poses. And then from there, we do kind of like, we work on like glutes, where we start to do like more lunges. We do a pose where it kind of mimics the traditional warrior pose, and we do like an ab movement there. We do glutes, abs, legs, we do arms. It's just full body and it just flows really nicely. And then we do, from that portion, we move into a more intense kind of cardio portion where we're doing your push-ups, your planks, three different kinds of planks. And we're speaking declarations over ourselves through everything. From there, the last portion is then the Pilates portion where we're on our back and we're doing mostly ab work. So the whole program is about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how much instruction is needed from me. But it starts off slow and it goes, I mean, the ab portion is really the worst when you get to that. To the end. Yeah, that's when you're like, oh, I can't take it no more. But then you're like, no, you're a conqueror. We're going to get through these V-sits and you're going to conquer this move. You're going to do it. And it's just awesome. It's a great time with the ladies. I just love it.
I think it's impressive that, you know, you're finding another way for, you know, or providing another way for people to get active, you know, and reduce their stress. You know, I think some people are intimidated by the big fitness clubs and other people don't really feel like they want to get out on the road and ride a bike, you know, and just on and on, where you're mixing both, you know, meditation type spiritual activity with physical activity. That's just a great combination.
Yeah, it really is. And I forgot to mention before that at the end, since from the Pilates portion where we're laying on the floor, we end with a moment of like rest and back to breathing. And then you get a scented towel and water. So it kind of turns into a little spa experience once you're done sweating and panting. Like, here's your scented towel. Don't hate me. You know, I still love you.
Now, you had mentioned during the class, you do positive affirmations or declarations. Mm-hmm. What are those like, and what is that supposed to do for the participant?
Well, scientifically, our brains naturally react to negative, like, responses. So when something negative, we're trained to react on those. However, when something positive comes our way, we become skeptical or we don't respond as quickly. Our body does not respond as quickly to something positive. And so I've learned that for every negative thought, you need three positive thoughts to turn that negative thought around. Okay. So throughout the program, we speak 15 different positive declarations over ourselves to help fight at least five or more negative thoughts that we may have about ourselves. So they're meant to empower, they're meant to encourage, they're meant to help redefine your identity, to walk out in your calling, to find purpose, to help you walk in love, walk in humility, grace, to show mercy to other people. It's just a full combination to help reset your mind and to walk out better than when you came in.
Wow. You know, I when I listen to you talk, something that happens when I run sometimes is I'm running and having a good run or not so good run or whatever, but I'm just running. And then a negative thought pops in my brain, whatever it is, you know, something I'm concerned about or something I have to do. And before I know it, my gait has slowed or my pace has slowed and my gait may be off. It's just amazing how quickly just a negative thought can affect my physical activity, whatever it is. You know, it's just really interesting. And I know it's just so common. And what you're doing is trying to marry those two in a positive way. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, thank you. It definitely is. And a lot of people don't realize how their body is reacting to these negative thoughts. You know, we just chalk it up and they compound. And then we get, you know, it leads down these roads of sickness, disease, depression, and the list just goes on. And people don't realize that it's not necessarily what you're putting into your body, but what you're putting into your mind.
Yeah.
It all starts in the mind.
Spirit, mind, body. Spirit, mind, body.
Yes.
I always say that. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that there's a Christian component to this. Are those affirmations very Christian-based? Do you guys say it together as a class, as a group, or is it personal?
Well, I give people the option. You know, I tell my class that if you feel comfortable, repeat these after me. Some do, some don't. Some are whispering the words to themselves. Some are just saying the words in their mind. And others are not saying them at all. You know, the choice is up to you. But I feel that as long as you're hearing them, the seed of positivity is being planted. And once you become comfortable, you will start to speak them over yourself. Once you start to believe these words, you're going to start saying them over yourself, over your situation, over your family. And it's just going to trickle down.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Positivity breeds positivity. Negativity breeds negativity. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Something pops my mind listening to you too. You know, sometimes negative thoughts going into your brain or coming out of your brain lead to negative or bad things going into your mouth, you know, stress eating.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, maybe we can also try and find a way to connect the positive thoughts leading to positive dietary interventions or dietary actions, you know?
Definitely. Sometimes in a class, like there's one declaration that says, I have the power to choose. And I'll say it, like, I have the power to choose what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to listen to. Like, you have that power, and people need to recognize that.
Yeah,
that's true. A good question. Do you do any nutritional counseling with your clients, or is it pretty much just focused on the fitness aspect of it?
I'm pretty much focused on the fitness. However, I do share tips with my clients, you know, because they do have questions. Oh, what should I do, this and that? And, you know, I don't like to tell anybody what exactly to eat. I'm not a nutritionist.
Mm-hmm.
But there are 5 general rules that I think everybody should follow if you want to live a healthier life. You know, less meat, more vegetables, more water. You know, like there's always tricks and tips that we can do to help ourselves. And so I do share tips with my clients. I will explain to them if they're comfortable doing like adaptive eating or intermittent fasting that has numerous health benefits for the body and, you know, the mind. And so I do share tips with people. Yes.
What you talked about fasting, I'm actually on November the 3rd, I'm going to attempt, that's the big word there, to do a week-long fast. So,
good for you.
Yeah, I'm going to attempt. I've done it before. So, but anyway, so send all your good vibes my way because I do believe
in that. Yes, I will. Yes, that's awesome. Fasting has huge benefits. It just helps to reset the body and gives your body that time to heal when it's not focused on digestion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cells could do what they need to do.
Yeah. Melinda, do you have any, you know, obviously anonymous or HIPAA compliant in my world, but do you have any client testimonials, a customer, if you will, a colleague that had a positive experience that you can share with our audience?
Yes. Well, I have 2 that I would like to share if possible. I have one client who has fibromyalgia, and she's just unable to move, aches, pains, like just a really bad time. Like her motor skills are just declining. And so she started taking my class, and every week you could see her do a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, until she was able to go through the full routine without stopping. And, you know, of course she had modifications that I helped her through, but it just warmed my heart to see somebody who wants that positive change for their health and is willing to take a class and not give up after the first class because they have trouble with a move, or to let go of embarrassment, to let go of shame because they can't do the move and just give it all they've got. And so after maybe about 2 months, she was able to go through the full routine and start to see results where her pain was starting to lessen in her body. It's just amazing, amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
And then I had this mother-daughter come in one day. And the mother, she texts me back. She's like, I feel like I had a physical and spiritual experience. Thank you so much. My daughter loved it, and she doesn't like anything. And she was so into it. She had told me that the daughter went back to her school and started telling all her friends about the class that she had taken. And so, I mean, I think with most youth, trying to get them to do anything that's different, especially like, you know, with your mom, it's not the easiest thing to do. Right. But I would love to incorporate this kind of positivity and physical wellness with more teams if I can get them started as early as possible.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're our future. They're going to be running this country when we're, you know, at the age thinking about retirement and our golden years kind of say. So I love that you're doing that. Now, I know you had mentioned that you're going to, I guess in 2020, this will be available for folks online, which is great. Yes. And I will be, because I live in Texas, I can't like hop on a plane and come see you every week. But as we kind of wrap up this interview, how can, and again, I'll put this in the show notes, but how can someone reach out to you to find out more about this or find a class or just to reach out to you?
Yeah, I mean, the Central Hub is my website. So you go to sharelovelivewell.org. And at the top, you'll see Faith and Fitness Studios, or Truth and Fitness, I'm sorry, Truth and Fitness Studios. You just click there and it has the list of active classes. And towards the bottom, you can get on the wait list for the online sessions. And then, you know, you'll get my newsletter, you'll be updated periodically when new things roll out. And that's really the best way. You can also send me an email. I have a contact form on the website. So I'm open to any questions, feedback. I'm there for it.
Oh, wonderful. I will make sure I sign up for the wait.
Yes.
I know, because I'm really interested in this. I really am.
Oh, good. I'm so happy to hear that.
As Scott is, I am sure. Really-
Yeah, this is really cool. I mean, I have to say one thing before we break off. Is that there was a TED Talk by a woman named, I believe her name was Cuddy, and it was one of the most popular TED Talks of all time, where she talked about the power posture, where before you go into a meeting, you do these postures and stretches where you bring your arms above your, you know, you get big, you know, you get big, you, you know, and I thought that was so fascinating. I'm sitting here listening to you thinking some of this is both, you know, mental, verbal, but also physical power posturing, you know, and stretching, you know, and it's just, I don't know if that resonates with you, but and it may not be, you know, what you agree with, but it seemed to resonate with me. I forget, you know, that was an interesting TED Talk, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You definitely walk out more empowered than when you walk in.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, which is so important, especially, you know, obviously for women and then young people too. I think that's such a great thing. Well, Melinda, thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy, and we just love learning new things like this, and you've really shown us a great way to reduce stress. So just thank you again for your time. And again, we'll set up links on our website to all these interesting things. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, wonderful. And, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And Beth, I guess with that, we'll take a commercial break and we'll be right back.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Thank you so much to our listeners for joining Scott and me every week. And a special thank you to our guest, Melinda Perez, today. I hope everyone enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. We talked about the importance of exercise and how that can build not only a strong body, but strong minds and spirits as well. The purpose of our show is to educate everyone on different and new exciting avenues in the health and wellness world. We haven't done this in a while, but we're going to have a giveaway. We'll be giving away a month of free personal health coaching. This coaching can be done over the phone or Skype or Zoom. But in order to win, you're going to have to be a subscriber to our show. So make sure you subscribe, and our amazing, beautiful, talented executive producer, Mel D, will be doing the drawing next week. So good luck to everyone. Now remember to visit our show's landing page at www.uptomeradio.com. And finally, like us on Facebook at Up to Me Radio and follow us on Twitter at Up to Me Radio. I hope everyone had a healthy day, and we will see you next time around.